All right, so this is lesson 23, and the title of this lesson is Give. And again, it goes on to principle 8, which is to yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. And that goes with Matthew 5, chapter 5, and verse 10, which says, happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. And this correlates with step 12 in the 12-step program or 12-step process. And that has to do with having had the spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And Galatians 6 in verse 1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. All right, so one of my friends, Lawrence, in Worcester, has a Celebrate Recovery group, and he graciously gave us some of his PowerPoint slides, so you can visually see what are some of the things I'm going to be talking about tonight. Okay, so a little girl on the edge of a diving board. She has faith. She says, I have faith that I can swim, that I've been taught, but she has to jump off the diving board in order to really show us that she has faith. And so what we're talking about tonight in our focus is the faith that puts into action what it knows to be true. And so I think that if God had to choose his favorite principle of the 8 principles, he might choose principle 8, to yield ourselves to him to be used to bring the good news to others. Why do I think that principle 8 would be one of the ones that God would choose or his favorite? Because it's really about putting our faith in action. The things that God's done in our lives now begin to blossom, and we begin to show him just how much we appreciate him, and we start to impact other people's lives. In James chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we can say we have faith all we want, but if we're not putting it into action, that faith that we have is dormant, it's dead. So active faith is very important to God, as we're going to see tonight. Now, what I'm not saying is that our good deeds can save us. Our good works, no matter what we do to try to bring people into God's kingdom or share the good news with them, that's never going to gain us entrance into heaven. Only our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior can allow us to enter into heaven. It is through our actions, however, that we demonstrate to God and others the commitment that we have to our faith in Christ. So tonight we're going to begin with principle 8. And we're going to talk about what it means to carry the message and what it means to give back. So what is giving back all about? What does that truly mean to give? In the New Testament, the word give has 17 different words and meanings. And so this is a complex thing that we're talking about tonight, but we don't want to get too confused, so we're going to try to make it as simple as we can tonight. Principle 8 doesn't tell us to give in unhealthy ways. I think we can all think of ways in which we could give to other people, but it wouldn't be a healthy type of love or a healthy type of giving. Principle 8 is talking about healthy, non-codependent giving of myself without the slightest trace of receiving anything back from the person that I'm giving to. So healthy giving is giving without expecting anything in return. It's everything that you have that has come from God, so you are just giving back what belongs to God, something that he's given you. You're just becoming a conduit for what he's given you. And then the more you have been given, the more that is required of you. And so some of us have been given some wonderful grace by God in our lives. And the question now is, what are we doing with that grace? What are we doing with what God has done in our lives? Are we going to pass that on? Now, on the unhealthy side, unhealthy giving is giving to receive love or approval. So I could be in a relationship with somebody, and I could be giving because I want to get something back from that person. I want to get their approval, or I want to get something else from them. And that wouldn't be true love. That wouldn't be healthy love. That wouldn't be a healthy giving. Giving of yourself to feel safe in a relationship. So many of us have done that, haven't we? Where we've given, but not because of Christ's love in us, but because we just wanted to feel safe. And so we did things to make it safe, but we weren't really doing it out of a heart motivation of wanting to love and give. And then giving up your own values and talents to focus on another's values and talents. And so sometimes we give up who we are in the process of trying to give to someone else. And that's not at all what the kind of love that Jesus talks about in the New Testament is about. We don't lose ourselves in that. And Jesus says talk about losing our lives to find it. But when we talk about giving to other people, we're not supposed to deny who we are in the process of trying to help them. Matthew 10 in verse 8 sums up the principle number 8, which, and it says there, freely you have received, freely give. So last time we were together, 2 weeks ago, we talked about gratitude. And that's why gratitude is so important, because we can see in gratitude, as all of us shared that night, and I wrote up on the board all the things that, for which we were grateful. It was a huge list that I was able to put on that whiteboard. And it's out of that kind of gratitude that we talked tonight about having been freely given to, now we give. In principle 8, we yield ourselves to be used to God to bring the good news to others, both by our example and our words. So, we're going to give, which means we're going to put God first. The I is going to become a we, so it's not about me, but it's about we. And the V will stand for victories that are shared. And then the E will stand for the example of my actions or our actions. Okay, so let's talk about the G for a moment, which is God first. When you place God first in your life, you realize that everything that you have is a gift from Him. You realize that your recovery is not dependent or based on material things. It is built on your faith and your desire to follow Jesus Christ in His directions. In Romans 8 and verse 32, in the Good News Bible, it says it this way: God did not even keep His own Son, but offered Him for all of us. He gave us His Son. Will He not also freely give us all things? And so, in a sense, God has prepared some wonderful treasures for us while we're still here on this earth. He gave us His Son, and so He's not going to keep the good things from us that He has for us. But we need to put Him first in the process. So we're really never more like God than when we're giving. We're not just giving money, but we're really giving of ourselves. And that's what Jesus did for us, right? He didn't give us money. He didn't, hand people a track. He gave up Himself. He gave His very life for us. So the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, you cannot serve two masters, God and money. You will either hate the one and love the other, or else the other way around. And so we could put anything in the place of money. So it's either God or my marriage. Is my marriage important? Yeah, my marriage is important. But God's more important. When I put God first, usually my marriage does pretty well. My kids are important. But as Jesus said, that when we need to put Him first, and then our families, because when we're in a right relationship with Jesus, when we're in a right relationship with God, He has a way of working in our lives in such a way that it makes an impact on all the other parts of our lives. So the second letter we're going to talk about is the I, which then when we give, the I becomes we. None of the steps of the principles begin with the word I. Have you noticed that? The very first word in step one is we. In fact, the word we appears in the 12 steps 14 times. The word I never appears even once in any of the 12 steps, and there's a reason for that. The road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone. This is not a program to be worked in isolation. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so, again, God and our neighbor. God first and then our neighbor. And as we put God first, he helps us keep the second commandment, which is to love our neighbors. When you reach this step in your recovery, and someone asks you to be a sponsor or asks you to be an accountability partner, what should we do about that? Should we step up to that, you think? Yeah? Yeah, this is the place where God has been working us through all these principles and through these steps. And we get to this place where we have something to give. And, you know, I want you to remember a principle, which is called the just one step ahead principle. You don't have to be way out far in front of somebody to help them. In fact, I found that all I need to do is be just a step ahead of somebody that I'm trying to help. Often, you know, and I've led groups before, you know, just the fact that I've looked over the lesson, just the fact that I prayed for all the people in my group means I'm a step ahead of them. I know some things that they don't know because they haven't prepared yet. And so I'm there and I'm able to help facilitate that group to get them to a certain place. And sometimes I think you and I are probably waiting for that lightning bolt where God says, okay, now it's time for you to start giving back. You know everything you possibly need to know. You can answer all the questions. But I don't think really that's the way it works. I think God wants to use us even in the middle of recovery. Or, you know, as we've gone through this last year, we've gotten to this spot where we're talking about giving back. And I don't think we have to wait until that perfect moment. I hope that you'll see that even if God has taught you through one experience, it's something that you can share with other people. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12 in the Good News Bible makes this concept of giving very clear to us. It says, two are better off than one because they can get their work done effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him. But if someone is alone, there is no one to help him. Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man alone. And so I hope you have someone in your life that would, you know, illustrate this verse that you can stand back to back with. And I hope that you can become that kind of person for someone. The third letter that we're going to talk about is the V, and that is for victories shared. God never wastes one of our hurts. I think we could all go around the room tonight and we could share an experience in life that we've had where someone has wounded us. And I don't believe that God, it is God's will that those things happen to us. You know, we live in a world post the Garden of Eden where we're all fallen people, we all make mistakes, and so God's best and God's desire was what he set up in the garden. It is us who have chosen to a different path and chosen sin, and, you know, via Adam and Eve, we really didn't have a choice, but I think if it were you and I in the garden, we probably would have made the same choice as Adam and Eve. And so God never wastes a hurt. I don't believe it's his will for us to be hurt or to be wounded or to have bitterness and resentment in our lives. But I believe that he can take our hurt and he can use those hurts to help other people. And Principle 8 gives us the opportunity to share our experiences, to share our victories and our hopes with someone else. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 2 tells us to remember what we've learned about the Lord through our experiences with him. So we start off by saying to someone, this is how it was for me. This is what happened to me. This is the experience of what happened to me. This is how I gained strength to begin my recovery. And eventually, hopefully, what we're saying to the person is, there is hope for you. There is hope for you. You don't have to stay where you are today. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3 in the Good News Bible, it says, give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Savior, and the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. So all of us, I think, have received some comfort from the Lord in at least one area of our lives. And this scripture points to the fact that we should take that comfort that we've been given from the Lord and that we should use that to help other people. I remember when I was 11, my mother was murdered, my stepfather committed suicide, and I was a lonely kid without hope in the world. And I, you know, grew up, and about the time I graduated from high school and went to college and came back to my church, and I was probably around 19, 20 years old, and I was helping in our youth group with the teenagers. I think it was during the summer. We had some huge activities, so I had 40 teenagers on this side of the room and 40 teenagers on this side of the room. We had these two teams, and I was helping out one of the teams, and we had a little service where we had a lot of fun that night, but then we also had a time where we did some singing and we had a message from the Bible. And at the end of this message from the Bible, one of these kids from the inner city walked down the aisle and told the pastor or whoever was leading the service that he needed to speak with somebody. They had an altar call or an opportunity for people to reflect on what they heard that night. And they brought this kid back to me. He was a teenager. And they sat him down next to me and they said, this young man needs to speak with somebody. He just lost his father this week. And as I reflected on that, later that week, I thought, how unique it was that of all the people in the room that they chose to bring that kid to, they brought him to me. And I don't know if they brought him to, I don't remember who brought him to me. I don't know if they knew my story, but God had me in that place in that moment to share the comfort that I had received from the Lord with this kid who needed to hear and needed someone to tell him that he was going to be able to get to the other side of this. In Romans 8:28, it says, "We know that all things, or we know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans." That's from the Living Bible. John Baker Story, who is the founder of Celebrate Recovery, is that in all the pain, all the hurt of his 20 years of abusing alcohol, all the destruction that he caused to himself and those that he loved, it finally made sense when he got to Principle 8, that God didn't want him to live that lifestyle for 20 years, but God was bigger than his circumstances, bigger than his experiences, and was going to use them for his glory. So God calls us according to his plans, and because I answer God's call, I can stand here as an example that God works all things together for good according to his purpose. I want to spend the rest of my life helping people recover the way that I recovered. And that's what John Baker had to say, and I can say from my own experience that that's what I want to do. This thought leads us to the last letter in our example, which is the example of our actions. You all know that your actions speak louder than your words. Your parents probably told you that, maybe your spouse, maybe your friend. They want to see the action, not just your good intentions. Good intentions die unless they are actually executed. So for this, we go to James chapter 1 and verse 22 through 24. And I'm going to ask you to read this with me from the screen. Are you ready? Here we go. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in whatever he does," or in what he does. James, I love James because he just gets right to the heart of it and just says what he wants to say. But that's what step 12 says. It doesn't say to bring a little good news or to bring good news only to others who are in recovery. It tells us to carry this message. Perhaps you have heard of Sunday Christians. We could become, you know, Monday bucks. We could become Monday recovery people and come here every Monday and talk about recovery and journal about recovery and sing about recovery and discuss about recovery and stay right where we are today. The point of what we're doing here at Celebrate Recovery is not to fill our heads with knowledge about recovery, but to actually do it. Faith without works is like a car that doesn't have any gasoline, right? So we got to put it into action. 1 John 3 and verse 18 says, "My children, love must not be a matter of words or talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action." So giving and serving, and it's through our actions that we demonstrate to God and to others the commitment that we have to our faith in Jesus Christ. So giving and serving is like a thermometer. And if we're giving and serving, that helps us understand just how warm the spiritual flames are in our lives. We're not giving because we feel we have to. We're giving out of the overflow of what God's done. So you can give without loving. Have you ever done that? You just give and you're running on fumes spiritually and you just give out to people and you do things for people, but you're not really loving, you're just doing. I think we've all been there. But the point of tonight is that you can't love somebody without giving. So this is the wrap-up, looking at Luke chapter number 8 and verse 16. Let's read that together. "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar, but puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. So let your little light shine." All right, we could do a little song if we wanted to that some of us did in Sunday school. The Lord spreads his message through the 8 principles and the 12 steps. We are the instruments for delivering that good news that God has given to us. The way that we live will show others our commitment to our program, but most importantly to our Lord and to the people that we're going to help. I'd like to leave you with Luke 18, verses 16 through 19, which we just read. And also, just the idea that we're not hiding anything, that we're bringing everything out into the open. The scripture says, so be careful that you don't become misers. Generosity begets generosity. Bring the good news with joy. All right, so that is the lesson for tonight.